Now entering Nerdist.com.
Hey, thanks for tuning in to Jonah Ray. Dio can't make it because I didn't think of a Dio joke, but he's working on one right now. That's where Dio is. On tonight's show, we have Chris Holmes and a lot of fun. Thanks for tuning back in. Here's the Andrew Jackson Jihad with the theme song. From Andrew Jackson Jihad.
Yay!
Friend of the show, two of the guys from it.
Yeah, you think they listen?
Season two. I said that in the beginning. And why don't you say it? What the fuck is the difference? Like, it's a professional. Our guest tonight is a really good old friend of
mine. Part due,
exactly. Like a hot shots. Our guest tonight is a friend of mine that I've known for quite some time. Our friendship started because of the movie Shaun of the Dead. And he's from Chicago, and he's people consider you a zealot of sorts.
A zealot of sorts.
But his
bon
name,
vivant.
His name is Chris Holmes.
Yay!
From Lost. how's it going?
Good.
Good.
I'm glad to be on your podcast.
Your headphones.
It's not really Chris Holmes from Wasp.
It's not really Chris Holmes from Wasp.
Yes,
it's Chris Holmes from probably many things.
I was not in Wasp.
No, but
I have been known to be in pools, but I never wear leather in the pool.
God, Chris is referencing is Decline of Western Civilization Part Two. Yeah,
the Metal Years.
The Metal Years, which, you know, the first two are great. With the third one, is that just Heavy Metal Parking Lot? What happens in the third one?
I don't think it's been made yet.
Oh,
no,
really?
It's been made.
Did they make?
Yeah, I think they're on 4 or 5.
Was it New Wave?
Did Penelope Spheeris didn't do the other ones, though. She just did the first.
How long is this decline?
Yes.
This is a steady grade.
It is a constant devolution.
Yeah, yeah. So in the sequel to the sequel of Decline of Western Civilization, they interview all these guys from metal bands, and one of the
Sunset Strip metal glam, mid '80s.
Do you remember Onan? They were awesome.
I do remember Onan from Headbanger's Ball. I remember Onan.
Onan was like, the dudes in the hot tub in the.
Oh, okay. That's right.
They're like, we're going to be the biggest fucking band in the world, bro. Just watch.
That was the adverse reaction, I think, from punk, and then what became like, and then when it crossed over into metal was like punk. Like, it was a bunch of guys going, "We're not going to be anything. We're just going to fight the system. We're going to do our own thing."
Yeah.
And then like the adverse reaction to that was like a few.
We're going to sell a million records.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. We're every band.
With every rose has its thorn.
Yeah.
You know what is even better than the decline is the hearing aid. Have you seen that?
What?
That was the Heavy Metal Live Aid.
Oh, man.
You know who put that together?
Who did?
Dio.
Really?
Oh. We've got
the threads together. It's pretty awesome. The song is amazing, too, because it is about them all being stars. The song's called We Are Stars. And it has a 5.5 minute long guitar solo in it with Yngwie Malmsteen.
5.5 minutes.
Also featuring Chris Holmes.
Oh.
Who's in the choir of voices with next to Ted Nugent?
He's like the
it's
worst.
Definitely a good YouTubeable.
Yeah, we should look
stars
that
by Hearing Aid. Without the G, of course. Hearing Aid.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Jesus. Yeah. Yeah, he's probably the most comical. His interview is close to the video that Corey Haim put out to prove that he wasn't on cocaine, and all it did was prove that he's on cocaine.
Yeah.
You've seen that, right?
That is an amazing tour bus staple.
I'm fine. Chilling out.
I remember buying that in Cleveland at a record store.
He's just swallowing like sinus sweat.
And it's so weird that it was just a video.
Rest in peace.
Oh yeah, sorry.
Yeah, died at the Oakwoods.
At the Oakwoods on Barham?
Yeah.
Really?
I think
so. Is that for like young actors?
Lots of dreams die at the Oakwoods.
Yeah, a lot of dreams. Yeah.
The Oakwoods is a place. Peter Atencio, a friend of ours, lived there when he
I did
was
too.
Out here. You did too?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it was like a college dormitory for my exchange program college thing. Like,
Along with every failed band that got signed to a major label and was...
not just failed bands. We were there with... Okay, it was the crew from Emerson College, my alma mater, Ithaca College, upstate New York. James Vanderbeek was living there.
But this was during?
It was while Dawson's Creek was still on, but he was coming out here to like stay and like do movie auditions and shit.
Oh, jeez.
And Wu-Tang Clan.
What?
Yeah, so that was like...
That's a day at a pool right
this
there.
Is 19, this is 99.
That's like 98, the height 99. Of Wu-Tang.
Oh, yeah. There was like 50 dudes. And like on Saturday nights, it would be like, you know, 1 o'clock in the morning, whatever. And like kids would get home from parties. Wu-Tang would come out of the studio and the parking lot would be jammed with the weirdest.
Wu-Tang Clan and Vanderbeek.
Yeah.
Ain't nothing to fuck with.
It was the strangest mix of parking lot hangouts. And there was this one dude that was like part of the Wu-Tang entourage that would just, he would constantly shout, "Who's got the number to Pink Dot?" And then inevitably, one of my college brethren would shout, "It's 1-800-PINK-DOT."
Did that make it on any Wu-Tang albums?
To which... this gentleman would respond, "Who's got the number to Pink?" Was not satisfied with 1-800-PINK-DOT. Wow. I was like, "No, I don't.
I need
do letters.
The digits."
Yeah, I'm on a rotary phone.
But you know, you and I, there's a couple stories that I have in my stand-up that have taken place at your house,
yes,
too, in particular.
I feel responsible.
Both of them made it onto the half-hour special.
Nice.
Yeah, in a row. Awesome. They let me do them in a row, those fucking six-year-old stories.
I can guess what one of them is.
You know, you were there for both.
I know, but I'm sure that one of them involved a former singer and rock star who is now rolling over in her... filth somewhere.
Yes. Yeah. You know what? If I can say it, because I said it on fucking national TV, Courtney Love. It
was Courtney Love. Love.
And she was just there because she was like, it was just me.
Time off hasn't slowed him down.
She was there just hanging out.
It was a funny story. This is a funny story that I can tell now that we have safe distance from from her fucking deadly
reach
below. She no longer is a hulking mass of a human being that could kick mass. I think I could probably take Courtney Love at this point.
She got skinny again. Yeah.
Maybe not in terms of powers of evil. She would still, if it was like Emperor Palpatine versus, you know, I would lose.
And
she's her.
But the
dark,
have the fucking
the dark force is stronger in
you
that
have the
one.
Rebellion at your back. Never
but we were going, the LCD Sound System played at the El Rey, and I was there with James Murphy's now ex-wife, and Courtney Love came with Neil Strauss, another friend who wrote the book The Game, whose house at which
obviously
Courtney,
putting that game to
whose house Courtney was living at the time, and Courtney came to the show with Neil and proceeded to tell me that she wanted James Murphy to produce her new record. James, when he found out that she was coming, didn't want to put her on the list, and then told me that he didn't want to meet her. And so Courtney was talking to James's then wife, and she would not let on that she knew James Murphy, let alone was married to him. So at some point, Courtney got in an argument with one of her ex-boyfriends, and we slowly made our way from the upstairs to the downstairs and made our way to the dressing room area. And we see Courtney Love, and it was like a scene from Invasion of the Body Snatchers where we just see her point down at us. we kind of pretended like we didn't see it and went back to the dressing rooms, which at the El Rey are behind the main stage and are about the size of your studio.
Thanks for calling it a studio.
Very generous.
And Courtney then, about 20 minutes later, made her way down to the area where the guy who was maintaining this elegant backstage, and he was told specifically not to allow her to come backstage. And so we could hear every word of the conversation, and Courtney Love was basically saying, I'm with Chris Holmes, go get him. Down there, while James Murphy was shaking his head, no. Just don't respond at all. And she sat there for a good hour trying to convince the guy to let her upstairs. And so at that point,
so
I basically...
she's still hustling.
I waited it out, and I waited till she left, and then kind of looked over my shoulder as I made my way to the parking lot. And then I basically feared for my life. And it was about 10 days later that we ended up running into her again at CineSpace with Annie was playing, I believe.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I thought Courtney would want to beat me up. And she then wanted Annie to produce some tracks for her.
Right.
And Annie came to me and was like, oh, Courtney Love's here. I want to meet her. And I'm like, I totally could settle this karmic feud.
Vapor.
And I was like, Courtney Love, Annie, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
And so Jonah and I...
Let your train wrecks slam together.
Yes. Jonah and I went back to my house. I believe that Doug was there too. Doug Benson.
Doug Benson was with us,
and a bunch of American Apparel models.
Yeah, those were the days, huh?
I used to have a hot tub, which has been taken out of commission. And
by who? The CDC.
At some point, Courtney just showed up at my house. And we witnessed one of the most miraculous moments in the history of truth telling in the world, just totally missed. But there was a game of truth or dare going on in my kitchen.
Yeah.
And there were five American Apparel girls and Courtney Love playing truth or dare. And so they basically all were going around, and it got to Courtney's turn. And
this is my story.
And maybe I should let you finish it, because it'll probably be a lot funnier.
$5 on CC Direct.
It was American Apparel girls and me and Doug.
Yeah.
And the whole plan Doug and I had was like, before she even showed up, we had this plan. It's like, let's fucking get into a game of truth or dare. I'll dare girls to kiss you. You dare girls to kiss me. Full plan.
Like the...
So I hate you to kiss.
We got this.
I'm familiar with the junior high.
Someone's getting kissed tonight, bro.
And it was Doug twice. Twice I did it for Doug. He never did it for me.
So we're playing this game of truth or dare, and it gets to Courtney, and it's the moment. And so, like, they're like, truth or dare, and Courtney's like, truth. Jonah and I are just kicking each other under the table. They're like, holy shit, this is the time. We'll finally find out what happened. Now, I don't think Courtney Love killed Kurt Cobain. But that being said, she probably drove him pretty fucking crazy while he was alive. But, you know, it's a moment where, you know, someone could have asked a general question of, so what do you think happened to Kurt? And instead, the girl, call her American Apparel model number 4, asked what Courtney Love's best sexual experience of her life was.
Yeah.
And then it proceeded to tell an even more depressing story.
It was
Billy Corgan.
Yeah.
Oh.
And Billy Corgan tying her up, leaving her at his house while he went to go take care of his little brother, who's autistic, and then coming back like 8 hours later. And then in that moment of submission, Courtney had the best sex of her depressing.
Wow, they ripped that off for a Mad Men episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she also, she said second runner up, some guy from DGC Records. Just some guy at Geffen.
That was the guy that was got in the argument with her at the James Murphy.
David Geffen?
We're gonna pause for a song.
I feel like such a gossip columnist right now.
I know, but it's great. You should like
great
when,
moments
when Lance
in indie
was
rock
on.
Gossip.
When Lance was on, he gave us some like choice stuff. Choice.
That's because Lance
stories.
Is a genius.
Yeah. But when we get back, we're going to talk
best
about how
ever.
You actually know and have worked with Billy Corgan from Smashing Pumpkins, and of course Zwan.
Smash Pumpkins.
I'm in a Zwan video.
Are you in a Zwan video?
That
was
DJing.
Really. That was really his indie rock Zwan song. Hey.
Wow.
Neil,
you made me turn it down because you didn't like.
you're the best around, so I had to turn it back up.
You can turn down the individual track.
Can you keep hear it me? Apparently, something
I can barely hear you.
I can't hear me at all.
Cash, how's this new board working out?
There's a lot of things on it. Yeah. Try it now, Neil.
Oh, now I hear me.
I can hear you.
Yeah.
What about
crank.
Me? You guys hear me all right?
Yeah.
Oh, people miss such genius barbs from
check
me earlier.
Mic, yo.
Bon mot.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, we forgot to mention that this is a season two.
Season two.
Upgraded. Now Adam has his own microphone.
Yeah, you kind of didn't introduce any of us, but
all right, we'll get to that. Hey, thanks for tuning in, Jonah Radio. I just want to jump in because Chris is a.
Nah, it's okay. Let's just go forth.
Our producer.
No. Song
now from Neil for $1 billion.
This is the new single from Madman's album that just got put out called Head On.
There's a knock at your door. You don't even recognize a stranger. It's you from before. Trying to warn you all about the dangers. There's a hole in your head. At least that's what everybody's guessing. It's why you're always misread. It's why you sleep but you never feel rested. You never get your rest in. Hold on to your heart.
awesome. That's the new Man-Man on Oney Pond. Good old former, he was a guest, right?
Ryan yes, he on. Was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
I think Honus. You're the man who turned me on to Man-Man.
Yes, I
Honus
am that man.
Slash Honus.
Yeah, yeah. I know him because we dated the same girl.
Not same, me.
No.
Man-Man.
No, you. Here's how we know each other. You overheard me. We had like a lot of mutual friends. Uh-huh. The L.A. mirrored, uncalled for.
Sorry, I'm trying to keep busy. I want to.
How about you listen and engage then?
Instead well, of just I know try the story, so I want to. Like, I'm not shitting on it. I'm just trying.
You
to,
know the story.
Enhance.
It. You know. Are. You're the one who knows the story. You out of like.
I know.
The
I'm
other...
trying to enhance it for the listener.
How is that enhancing it?
I'm
that's
not sure
shitting
if I
on
remember
it.
Remember the story, and I was there.
Everyone yeah, likes yeah. a little bit of score.
Trying to tell me how
know?
We met.
What? I was in the middle of telling a sweet story to how I know.
I wasn't interrupting. I was just trying to underscore.
Underscore it with the song that we use to tell people to fucking move it along?
I forgot that. I honestly forgot that.
It's been a while, I guess.
Moving on.
Okay, go ahead.
Season two.
So we were, back to their old tricks. fuck you, man.
When
did you start doing bed music? You've never done bed music.
I'm trying to up the game.
Up the well, gear. Then fucking yeah. play some songs if you're going to do it. Not
remix.
Fucking... Yeah.
1-800-PICK-DOT.
So we like part of that that the L.A. you know like the Vice the you know, there was Vice in New York uh-huh. and then like our like then there was our side yeah. in L.A. which was a shittier version of that. Which was like, you know, CineSpace.
Just our friends.
Yeah.
Different places.
So there was a magazine.
Trying to drink as much as we could for free.
Yeah and that's
while
like every
I would DJ or Jonah would do comedy.
Yeah, it was like just every, it was just going around. Like there was CineSpace on Tuesdays. Because it was right after the Ambar show.
Yes.
And we would often run over and then we get to like just, even before there was a line, we just got to walk in. But like I remember like when the line started. They started having a line go around the block, and we just got to walk by.
Do you remember the time when Danny from Ladytron and I were DJing at CineSpace?
I don't think
and
so.
Steve Aoki came out and told us to stop playing house and electronic music.
Oh, my God, I do remember that.
We took the turntable weights with us and then took all of the music that we had and went to Beauty Bar instead.
That's
and
right.
And then 6 months later, every single song that I played in that set, Steve Aoki was featuring in his, his jams.
Yeah, that was... That was a crazy thing because when the CineSpace thing first started, it was Frankie Chan and Steve Aoki, who are like two old, like, you know, like Frankie's more of like a pop punk kid, but like Steve was like kind of a legend in the hardcore scene up, you know, in California. Like he helped book this place called the Pickle Patch, which is like tons of hardcore bands all would go through. And when the CineSpace first started, it was just like
it was all hip hop.
It was like, but even before, it was like ironic hip hop.
Yeah.
But it was like also like you'd hear Jawbreaker or you'd hear the Pixies or you'd hear that kind of, you know, indie rock stuff. But then
I come in from Chicago. had to rock the boat.
You were the first one in that scene to start doing like you were doing dance music for hipsters.
I came from a dance music for hipsters world.
Yeah, which no one...
After playing in the Smashing Pumpkins, I was like, I can't take this anymore. I'm just going to DJ. And
what did you do exactly for the Smashing Pumpkins?
I was the keyboard player for the tour for Machina.
And that was... You replaced the guy from the Frogs.
The guy from the Frogs, I think, just did a couple shows. There was a guy named Mike Garson who, to this day, still is the best musician I've ever seen play. He was the piano player on Aladdin Sane by David Bowie, but it was basically Bowie's keyboard player.
Jesus.
And I did a VH1 Storytellers episode where I was brought in to play sitar and Moogs and mellotrons and stuff. And after doing that, they asked me to go on tour. It was kind of like being in Spinal Tap, but...
That's what like
Billy is an absolute genius musician. Of all the things that people say about him, he is phenomenally talented.
I heard he's fantastic in the sack.
And once he gets there,
as long as he doesn't have errands. If he has errands, you're gonna
all time, him. All time.
Yeah, he's a friend of Dee's. Is like works as an engineer in his studio like space that he has now, and he says that Billy will come in and just kind of for like a day just. Like record riffs and then just like have them mark them like the time and when he did it and then just file them away
we were working on a record that was going to be this is after Zwan we were going to do a kind of Nick Drake Brian Eno-ish record
oh wow
And it just got more and more complicated. And at some point, I just decided I couldn't deal with it anymore.
He can't stop layering.
He actually, it's the opposite is what happened. He wanted to do everything live, and he didn't want to have any sequencing. And at some point, I realized that I could just plug an effects processor into an air conditioner, and it would be about the same. Chris input to the thing. But, I mean, that being said, he's musically a genius.
Weird dude.
He just works a lot.
And, yeah, yeah.
He needs someone sometimes to tell him this one's better than that one.
Yeah, yeah. What was the – I think the story you told me about the drummer where like the drummer for Smashing Pumpkins.
Jimmy Chamberlain?
Jimmy Chamberlain, where he didn't understand that he came in like a half a step too late all the time. Like it was like – I think you were playing – I can't remember if this is a story that you told me or someone else told me. They're playing with them, and like a guy was like, "I love it how you just come in like a half a tick and then catch up." And he's like, "What do you mean?"
I don't know about it, if I would have said that about you. I think Jimmy Chamberlain's one of the best drummers in the world.
Yeah, yeah.
He definitely – his thing was that he would speed up and slow down in songs about 20 BPM, but it was totally the feel of his playing because he's a monster. And
but he doesn't understand that he's doing it, right?
I think he does, but it's different. Like when you play with other drummers and you're doing things like, you know, playing things with arpeggiated synthesizers or something, you kind of lock it in and then it stays. But when you're playing with a drummer that goes up and down, I don't know, I think it's more about feel versus, you know,
more
being
of a conductor
tight
rather
but
than,
I would never ever diss Jimmy Chamberlain's drumming. Like
it wasn't like a diss, it was like the thing is, I love the way you come in at like here, and he was just like, I don't know what you mean.
The advice he gave for me is like, hey Chris, sometimes think in threes instead of fours. But like, he was he's a full on jazz bow, like,
yeah, I love
dude,
that
so
word. I still think that word's racist. Like, I don't know for sure. It still seems racist.
It's a jazz bow.
I know it's not, because it's just a, like, a.
If
know.
I said he was.
Yeah, but you try and yell that from a moving car and see if you don't feel bad about it.
Satchmo with me. No, because, like, jazz was like reefer. Like, it was.
You've been turned back down. What's happening?
Am I just far away?
Yeah. Gotta get right up on top of it.
This whole thing's going south.
No, don't let it affect you. Just get in on that.
But there was a moment on tour at the time. Dave Grohl was dating Melissa Auftemar, who was playing bass, who was also in Hole, and he was the coolest, nicest dude in the history of the world. And it was like that Frost poem where it's like there's a split in the road and there are two paths that you can take. And I realized that it was much cooler to enjoy life and to treat everybody as if you're stoked that they're around.
Yeah.
And each day is a gift rather than the fact that no one can appreciate your genius.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But
well, the fact that you think the world is a vampire.
The world is a vampire.
Except Dre Yeady.
Which brings us back to Edgar Wright again.
Oh, yes,
yeah.
Edgar did a show the other day before the World's End premiere at that place on Melrose
that was
features
Jensen's
fan art.
That's Jensen Karp's gallery in 1988.
That place is awesome.
Yeah.
But somebody was wearing a Smashing Pumpkins shirt, and I was like, oh, I played on that tour. And then I was like, oh, shit, that's the shirt Scott Pilgrim wears the entire movie.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. The heart with the SP in it. Yeah.
It's not about you, Chris.
I didn't think that anybody thought that I was in the Smashing Pumpkins. Yeah. That's probably one of the least known facts amongst my friends.
Yeah.
Unless you were there when I moved to L.A., not many people know that I played in the Smashing Pumpkins.
And I was there. You were still living in Griffith Park.
Yes.
And you overheard me talking. We had met maybe a couple times. The first time I met you, I thought you were Wayne Coyne, and I avoided it. Like, I was just like, I don't want to talk to Wayne Coyne because I'm a big fan. But then like it turns out
I get Wayne Coyne, James Murphy, and Lance Bangs.
Yeah.
Somewhere in between that rainbow.
Wow.
It's white dudes that wear white suits that are range from like the bigger size to Lance might be the biggest.
Lance is the biggest.
Me, the second biggest. James Murphy's just a big dude.
No, I think James is in between you two.
James does just judo. He's like a.
Oh, okay.
He's not like overweight.
Yeah,
James
yeah.
He's just a football body.
Stocky.
Yeah.
And then Wayne Coyne, who's.
And I think Wayne is like, it also like. You know, you got Lance, who's the biggest guy, but he lives in the Northwest.
Yeah.
You know? And then like, when you're on the other
Lance
side of the spectrum.
Lance may be the nicest person in the world, by the way.
Lance is one of the most interesting, awesome guys.
He's my favorite person I've met in the last 5 years, I think. I knew him before, but I've gotten to know him better over the last couple of years, and I will say that that dude is the raddest person.
Yeah, he's just a really, really good dude. But so are you, and that's the thing is, you know, I've kind of lost contact with most of the people of that time of my life in that whole area, except for you. To them?
Yeah, just that you lost general. Contact
yeah.
with people.
Yeah, nobody
maybe they lost contact with me. Maybe I'm the one that's a...
You know what? To them.
To them.
To them.
To them.
Guys, to them. To them. Hey.
Boo on them.
Boo on them. Clinky.
Lose contact with
Jazzbo.
But,
I'm still not convinced that my mic is even working.
I can hear it. But,
okay, good.
But you overheard me talking about... I had a copy of Shaun of the Dead before it came out in... the States.
Oh, I remember that.
And like you overheard me talking about it and you're like, "Oh, I heard about that movie. I think you were a fan of Spaced."
Yeah.
And
we did a screening in my backyard.
We did a screening in your backyard and like you were just like, "Let's have a screening in my backyard." I was like, "Cool." Like, you know, it was just that, you know, that time where just you're like, "Fuck it, let's do whatever. I don't give a shit." And then I got there early to help you set up and then it was a bunch of people I didn't know.
Yeah.
And I'd already watched the movie probably 10 times
and it's still gets better every time you
every
see it.
Time it gets
I watched
better.
It this weekend it's fucking perfect
it's a perfect
so good. It's,
movie
it's really good. That is one of the things so I just I've become really good friends with Edgar over the years and I DJed the premiere for the World's End party and I told Edgar the story about you and playing it in my backyard and oh, the good old days.
Well, you know, it's weird
when
because
we were pirating people's movies and playing.
Well, we got it. It was before it came out in the States.
You guys got him a distribution deal.
And I remember, like, Chris and I were having conversations like about how come no one else is as excited about this as us. Like, we were really blown away by like you guys want to watch it another. And I was like, yeah, it's
you're part of the buzz machine.
Everyone gets everything for free in L.A.
Yeah.
I once saw somebody in the front row of a Bjork show. Texting somebody to see what was going on after the show.
Oh, God!
That's the example that I give for people who don't live in L.A. Let's get a boo for that.
Yeah.
There are awesome things about L.A., and there are things that are not so awesome about L.A. I don't know if you've noticed, but I've like never played a single live show in L.A.
No, you never have.
Live shows.
Started DJing.
When my friends who are in bands, when they come to L.A., I want to go to their shows to support them, but it also is so... embarrassing to be like, I live here and look at all these weird people that
are very
like
few bands
filming your fucking set.
There are very few bands that people will actually watch. Wilco, I have found, is a band that people in LA will watch the entire show and sing along with every word, but there are very few bands that
punk bands like people still like in LA.
Hip-hop too
people
get into punk and hip-hop,
but when we saw Eels, it was just like, you know, there was probably about, you know, 200 out of the 800 people there that were really into it.
Yeah.
And they're a great live show.
Yeah.
Well, it'll also happen the other way, too. I've seen a couple of shows that have been like, you can tell that they're like, yeah, I had to play in like Santa Barbara and I have to play in San Diego, so I have to go to LA, but I don't want to play this show.
Ween declared that they wouldn't play LA. Like,
isn't there something with Tom Waits not playing in LA? He'll play in like Arizona or something. But
I did see Ryan from Man took me to this like banquet dinner thing that he got tickets to through Epitaph and Anti, and we got to see Tom Waits play three songs in Los Angeles.
Really?
He's like, I don't play here much.
he plays a place in Santa Monica occasionally, but that's
that guitar
a
shop, McCabe's or something.
So I'm gonna play the Epitaph record.
You know, I want
a contract for Dracula.
Do you mind if I play? Like, I know I mentioned it earlier when we were texting, but like, I know you. It's an old song. It's probably a 10-year-old song for now. Because I remember it took you forever to put this album out.
We spent 13 years making that record. And then the entire music industry during that period
just crumbled.
Evaporated. I would love you to play that song.
Yeah. I think it's great.
Somehow you might make 13 cents if we play
it. The only song that I've done that anyone knows is the music that we've done for video games like Red Dead Redemption and FIFA 13.
That's right.
Oh, man.
FIFA 13. We had a song in The Sims, too.
Oh, excellent. Shit.
I've got a nice career for me playing video game conventions later. I've been planning this out.
Get your 8-bit out. You know, also, there's another thing you told me once, oh, you did it for a jeans commercial. You had to do a Pretty Woman remix.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And you got like the separated tracks.
The original Roy Orbison.
Wow. Track.
Yeah, and there was amazing. A thing. There was like it's the song that everyone knows. The recording everyone knows. But since he got the original stuff, there was a bit of preamble. I remember you saying like there was like, you know, shuffling around and you hear him.
The thing that was most amazing about Roy Orbison is that his voice, he was one of the best singers of all time. But his voice, when you hear the lead vocal by itself, it sounds really pitchy and just kind of, and the things like that sounds so weird when they're isolated. But as soon as there was a harmony on it, it sounds exactly like Roy Orbison, and it's like,
oh wow,
it's so amazing.
So his lead was like the off note in the harmony.
Yeah,
was like
or he was
note.
Just like, I mean, he sang perfectly in tune with himself. But if you were to isolate, like if you were a producer with Pro Tools and were a total douchebag, and Roy Orbison came into you, be like, "Ah, oh, dude, that's a pretty good take. Let me just fix this in Pro Tools," and then it wouldn't sound anything like Roy Orbison. Really? And it was one of the best lessons. That and the Marvin Gaye stuff, like Marvin Gaye's multi-track sessions, are amazing to listen to because you hear how much honesty and like truth is in like an off note when it's sung by somebody who's got an amazing voice, like. Yeah.
You know what? I think about the stuff, too, about, you know, when you see who's someone that does a lot of the dual vocals, like Built to Spill. You know, Built to Spill, like, he will not have his voice be solo. He will always go along with himself. He'll always do a secondary track where he's doing the same thing.
Yeah, I definitely suffer from that psychosis.
And I remember reading an interview because he did, like, Doug March, the singer for Built to Spill, did a solo album, really great album. But, like, the whole thing was he wanted to strip everything down because he'd been doing.
Still has doubled vocals.
And he still had the double vocal. They said they were ready to be finished with it. And he said he got anxiety. He's like, I'm going to go back in and do another pass.
Wow. Yeah, there are very few people. The dude from The Shins has an amazing voice just by like himself. And it was one of those things where seeing him sing when he did the Broken Bells record, like his voice sounds exactly like it sounds on the record. And you think that it's like this like doubled, tuned in, like crazy thing.
Yeah.
And he just sounds fucking perfect.
He's like one of those Tibetan throat singers, two notes at the same time.
Yeah, that's
he
crazy.
Just sings that one note really, really well.
And so do you mind if I play Walking on Landmines? Because I remember that was my favorite from what you showed me.
All right, yeah.
And there's another great thing that you do with, and we'll talk about it afterwards, but like from most of the stuff you've ever shown me that I've really connected with, you start so small and it just like the song doesn't stop expanding. And even with like when you did some stuff where like you had like, you know, the zither and like you use all these crazy instruments, like it's just like you just kept on expanding.
It was like
the songs
just trying to grow as a wave kind of
and that's what I really like that.
Bloody Valentine.
Yes. So this is Walking on Landmines by Ashtar Command, which is Chris's
with Brian Leeskang, who is my partner, who recently moved to LA.
Oh, really? The guy that played the drum and everything, or
Brian is the guy that was in Nine Inch Nails and Filter. That's right.
Yeah.
It's basically just the two of us.
Oh wait, Brian. Yeah, he was also in. Wasn't he in a girl?
He produced Veruca Salt.
That's right. And he tried to date my fucking ex-girlfriend.
No, that was Steve Fitzpatrick that tried to date you.
That was Steve Fitzpatrick. Yeah.
Steve Fitzpatrick getting a boo? Or was that a chair?
That was a chair.
Oh, yeah, all right. So this is Walking on
It was an ex-girlfriend. He took a bullet for you.
Fuck you guys.
I'm going to totally call Steve up and tell him about that.
We're in love.
Check, check, check.
All right. Mine sounds dull, right? My.
It's your spirit. We need to lighten up your spirit a little bit.
I realized I don't have comedy voice recently. I was like,
what is coming? Hey now!
No. Kumail Nanjiani, he's got comedy voice. He's got a pitch in his voice that just cuts through everything. Uh-huh. And it gets to your ear fast and clear.
That's the key. That's
mine's sloppy. Mine's just kind of like a wet steak being pushed across your cheek.
Lick their hand and put it slowly on your face.
Yeah, it's like a wet willy.
Slithers against your face.
Face
I was going to say, so with the Astro Command thing, there's a nice Jonah Ray tie-in. We did a video for a song called Gravity, which was a reenactment of the interview that I did on my UFO radio show that I had in Chicago with Heaven's Gate before their mass suicide.
Yes.
And it featured one Howard Kramer.
Howard Kramer. Summer.
My dude.
Yeah. So let's talk about that crazy shit.
So Jonah, Howard, and I made an amazing, which I still to this day think is one of the best jams, like, that should have been a YouTube viral sensation.
Yeah, yeah.
Quit playing video games and get laid.
Quit playing video games and get laid. Me, Howard Kramer wrote it. You produced it and helped write it.
Quit playing Donkey Kong and pay some attention to your lonely dong.
Yeah. I mean, it did okay.
Pure comedy. People should go and Google that right now because it's really good.
Was it a super deluxe?
Bing. They could Bing the fuck out of this shit.
You are a Bing man.
Bing. They haven't called in a long time. Maybe I'm thinking about joking around about it wasn't the best idea.
Yes, they should Bing that video.
I'll see Nelson Franklin doing those commercials soon.
Nelson is a good dude.
Yeah, sure.
I don't know.
He's a great dude. He gets all the parts.
You guys are having a private conversation. I don't know who that guy is.
He's the guy that looks like me that's in Veep and Scott Pilgrim. He just got
his own show.
He's got his own show called We're the Millers. It's not his show. It's
he's a good dude.
Millers,
he's a great dude.
I just had a fucking meeting at CBS, like casting, and
there are worse dudes that people could.
But you know what they're like, yeah, you're a real. We kind of already have Nelson Franklin.
If I was an actor, I would get Philip Seymour Hoffman all the time.
Yeah. I remember when that first happened, though. You got so upset.
It's a little bit upsetting. Philip Seymour Hoffman has 100 pounds on me. He's a much better actor and probably person than I am. But he does have probably 100 pounds on me.
I'm going to become an actor just so I can get a young Jeff Garland.
Do it to yourself. Put out pain. But here you've done. I remember when you loved to make. I remember one time I stopped by your house and you were putting in one of those ladders in the ceiling to go into your.
That's one of the wisest decisions I've ever made. The home improvement. Hey, check it out. You can buy these things that cut through ceilings at Home Depot. I'm going to put in a storage space. It's because the house that I rent.
Yeah. I got
was built in the 50s. There's probably nothing bad in the ceiling tile.
I passed out at someone's party in Echo Park, and I had to like go and walk and get my car from Amoeba. And on the way, in like a midway point, I was like, "I'm just gonna see if Chris is busy. Maybe he's not. And he can give me a ride the rest of the way." And he's like midway through, going,
"Sawzall purchase on impulse, late night at a 24-hour Home Depot. Not the best idea. It managed to work. It's still a functioning attic.
24-hour Home Depot is only available for meth heads. Yeah. Like that's the only audience.
Fixed everything.
I am." Not surprised that the Sawzall still works. I'm quite surprised that you still work. If you're buying Sawzalls at 24-hour Home Depot.
That was one of the boldest things that I've ever done.
But you also, what was that thing, the Dream Maker thing you made?
The Dream Machine?
The Dream Machine, which is on a turntable.
Yeah, it was invented, I think, by Baron Geisen, who was one of the part of the kind of Burroughs world. But they had figured out that if you had a light bulb in the center and then you had this machine with slits, it was basically a tube with slits in it, and you put on a record player, that they'd make it so that the light patterns would induce hypnotic states of consciousness. And you know who ended up using that a lot was Alex Ebert.
as he was doing the Edward Sharpe record.
Really?
Oh, funny.
Yeah, Alex Ebert, old
who
friend of ours.
Lived in my coach house.
Lived in the coach house when he was
made,
in...
he made that... Well, he's in Edward Sharpe when he was doing the I'm a Robot.
The greatest ever been uttered on this show is, lived in my coach house.
The coach house that I did not own, but was connected to the house that I rent. So please, like, it wasn't like... I'm he wasn't my Cato Kalin or anything.
But it just feels so Downton Abbey.
Yeah.
Yeah, back when he was still in I'm a Robot.
And he had done that Lovers in Captivity, which is one of the best songs still to this day. That video is unbelievably awesome. And
he's a good dude. I remember when he did that performance art thing at
the Ipecac.
He took a bunch of Ipecac, and earlier that day, he ate nothing but Red Vines.
That was the saddest thing ever, too, because it didn't work until 10 minutes after the show was over.
Oh.
And then Rickett and I had to take him home, but he was puking Red Vines for about a good hour and a half outside
of... It's like everyone was waiting around.
When there were loft parties in L.A. back in the day.
Yeah. I remember the first loft party I ever went to was in 2001. It was a bunch of us from PJ went up and saw, like, there was, like, punk bands playing in the loft. It was just... When downtown was, like, the scariest place.
Oh, yeah.
When, you know, when they talk
about... What was the strip club that was always across
Sam's
the street?
Sam's Hofbrau.
No. That one is also scary. it is featured in Afternoon Delight, which was a great movie starring Catherine Hahn. They go to the Sam's Hofbrau house. I'm like, I've been there. the other one that was by the where all the loft parties were at, by the bus station.
Oh.
Also by Sam's Hofbrau.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I think I know what you're talking about.
Is it like Showgirls or something?
Can't remember.
But anyway, irrelevant. Not good podcast material. Yeah. Sorry. I'm not a podcast regular, so.
No. You're doing great. But I remember that was the first loft party I went to, and I did. That was when I learned my lesson. I had just started drinking maybe a year or so before that. That was my first lesson.
I remember you and Jason were like, Jason was totally straight edge, but you were like kind of straight edge.
I was new. That was me like just going like, that was me resenting my straight edge. It was our friend Jason Hammer from Midnight Movies. And then what was that other band he started? Helmet. But he like it's the like Beatles. He was straight edge, but because he never did anything. But he was fine with it. But I was like, no, I'm going to show the old straight edge me what it's like to have fun. And then so that's why I was so liberal with my drug use, which was or drinking. You know, which is just like
I was going to say drug use, not so much drinking. I remember
drinking. Yeah, sure. Drug use, I was still very scared of.
We left that for Lars.
Zing. That's the part of the story I leave out.
I will totally we'll stand on trial for having seen him actually.
Like, yeah,
I will swear on a
it was
pack
a mountain
of,
he piled it on top of a stool
while telling stories about LA See, comedies back
Sam, talking yeah, Sam talking Kinison, about Sam Kinison the entire
and how much
time.
Drugs they used to do.
Yeah,
it's so crazy. Guys like that
and
are
then
so
Sam
alive.
Died and I had to do it all myself.
Well, it's like that thing though, it's you know, he's really really wealthy. Who's another drug user that's really really wealthy? It's
Bill Cosby.
Jack Nicholson
who's like he still talks about how he still does drugs.
Although I have a friend who's good.
Keith Richards. They just say if you can afford.
Harrison Ford.
No, that's
Harrison
Ford
is just a. Yeah.
That's I just wanted to taint your broadcast with some random, like shitty, shitty.
Yeah, we did a. No, I'm not going to
say. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
But a friend of mine who talked to Jack Nicholson about drugs, reportedly.
Steel plate in his nose.
This is all made up.
Get on that mic. This is all made up, by the way. I didn't. Actually have this conversation and it never happened, but he said that Jack Nicholson was like, yeah, I do coke, but I do like, and he just like kind of like flexed his thumb against his forefinger and made this little divot in his hand, and he's like, that's all you need.
Wow. I always say this about
it's true.
I always say this about coke. The biggest side effect of cocaine is that you want to do more cocaine.
Oh, yeah.
That's why I don't like to do it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's you know.
You don't get to enjoy the drug. You just sit there and think about when am I going to get it again.
Yeah.
I am the best.
Yeah. That was his problem.
Yeah.
He just kept wanting to do more. Because.
You want to keep going. It's what I call it. It's like the last six pack. It's the last kind of thing you can do with your friends. You're like, let's get a fucking bag and fucking go and do
it. Yeah, it's the last sort of remnant.
That was probably why I stopped having parties at my house.
That's what they became.
Was people would just show up. And there are certain people that can be tolerable on drugs, but there's a lot of people that aren't.
Yeah, especially that.
And especially if you're not on drugs.
About 98%.
Yeah. I remember
there was a couple times where we were going to have just like small hangs.
Yeah, my small hangs literally turned into like Animal House every single. I'd be like, oh, I'm going to have three people over. Yeah. And literally there'd be 500 people. It ended at I had a party for Phoenix for the when they won the Grammy. And I was like, we were at Teddy's and it was 2 in the morning. I was like, hey, let's have like 40 people back over to my house. There were 750 people at my house. My house isn't that big.
No, it's actually
we talk about Downton Abbey, but it's not a big house.
It's a tiny
house.
And I walked into somebody smoking crack in my bathroom.
Oh,
yeah, not a good sign. And the night ended with Lamar, this is the biggest boo. Save the boo for this one. I had a can of Buzz Cola from the Simpsons premiere.
I remember
and
that.
At 6 o'clock in the morning, I see some guy who I don't know drinking the Buzz Cola with some vodka. I was like, there'll never be parties. And then on top of that,
would it be awesome though if he took a sip and then he dropped it? He's like, the bubbles are burning my tongue.
Some kid left his backpack at my house, and it was like the Big Lebowski, where it literally had like his chemistry homework and stuff.
Oh,
it was at a time when like Facebook existed and stuff. So I did a search to try and find if I knew a single person. I have literally a connection to probably 4 billion people on this planet, like through 3 degrees of separation. This kid, I didn't have a single person. This kid was probably 17 or 18 years old, ended up at my house at 7 in the morning with like 700 people there and left his backpack. It had a sleeping bag in it. Oh. It had his chemistry homework, and it had secret beer hidden in it.
That's adorable.
It's adorable.
That kid's probably dead now.
Yeah. Oh, you froze to death without that fucking sleeping bag. Oh,
welcome
man.
To the jungle.
So we're gonna let's break for a song.
Yeah.
Playing video games.
Yeah.
Oh, you want? Should we play? We've played that before.
I would like to hear it.
We played that on the Howard Kramer episode.
I would like to hear it anyway, seeing that I produced the song had to spend a ton of time getting Pac-Man video game sounds and then not having them be Pac-Man sounds and having to emulate
them. You had to do them yourself.
Just in case Pac-Man was scanning the web for Jonah Ray videos and copyright infringement.
That's all Namco is now. It's just lawsuits.
Namco.
Interesting story. Did you know it was originally called Puck-Man?
Paku Paku.
Really?
This is another Edgar Wright joke there for people.
You know what's great? When you start to put in a thing and autocorrects it, it's the third. So I put quit playing video games.
Do you think that might be personally?
It's not. This is a brand new browser. This is a new computer. Quit playing video games and get laid.
Number three.
The fourth one, quit playing video games and get laid. Lyrics.
That's a winner.
That's a winner.
When you're a winner.
Sama. All right, well, we'll play this. This is a song that Chris Howard Kramer and I made for Super Deluxe a long time ago. Missing plugin. Son of a bitch.
Cut.
Oh, and also the video was directed by Peter Atencio from
Key and Peele.
Oh, shit, it's going.
Oh, it's going.
Oh, dude. That original graphic
is
so good.
Whoa, Dragon was sweet. Why you so obsessed with Donkey Kong? Pay some attention to your lonely dong. Comb your hair, take a shower, put down that copy of Nintendo Power. Last night I was pumping a broad named Carol while you were sitting around here jumping barrels.
So we're watching the video. It's a hot tub that the aforementioned hot tub.
I can tell you a story about losing the hot tub afterwards. It's pretty good. You can't.
Soon. Soon.
Someday with the flesh pod.
Yeah. This is a bedroom, not an arcade. It was me thinking it was a way of trying to get around. There's the Contra code that I messed up.
You messed it up.
I messed it up.
These people are entering some space-time portal.
No one fucking told me not to. There's my ex-girlfriend.
I went on a date with Steve.
Yes! That's a weird thing about, like, you know, older stuff where it's like, I remember when I was dating Deanna, I would be like, oh, here's a thing I did once. But I can't because I'm in bed with my fucking...
Do you remember the year of comedy that you did after that? That was awesome.
A lot of people do.
I remember that, Jack.
It was the fucking
that's
jumpsuit.
The jumpsuit I got in New York City with the dollar bills.
Yeah, it's a silver dollar bills all over.
Milonakis wears it in an episode of the Kroll Show.
And there's another guy that wore it in a commercial.
take her home for an hour, love. Give her a rub with your power glove. Do not delay.
Give her a rub with your power glove.
I was so sick that night. We did that at Koji or whatever we were doing.
Wouldn't it be funny if one of these extra girls had like won an Academy Award?
You know what's crazy? The girl we had doing the breakdancing. The girl we had doing the breakdancing in this video, I ended up, she taught me how to hip hop dance for a video I did a few months ago for the Nerdist.
What's her name?
I don't remember.
They're people too.
Jessica Alba and Galaga being rhymed together is definitely it.
I love that line.
Some hedge on your hog like Sonic. Yeah. So good.
Playing video games and get laid. Oh, and there's Ben Getting. Ben Getting made a cameo in many of my videos.
Past guest, Ben Getting. Past guest, current listener, Ben Getting.
When you look back at your relationship, do you think it was because you were playing too many video games?
I didn't play video games. She played more video games than me.
She owned video games.
That was a call to her.
Yeah. Hey, lady!
I'm
going to subconsciously make a song.
You don't have to stop playing, just... try and move.
Yeah.
Hey, let's play another song so that gets the taste out of what I just said. Yeah.
I like how interactive. We finally give Adam a microphone, and he hasn't said. I think the only thing he said was season two.
Season two.
Season two.
In that game month on. And a half we took off, he went to hype man school.
Yeah. Let's take a break. I need to pee. We're going to play. We played one of the first episodes. We played a song from this band, Neuronic Distress. They're from California in the Los Angeles area. They sent their new EP, Sleepless Giant. Is that in reference to me? I do a lot of speed. This is the song, Sleepless.
Good artwork.
Appreciate me. Yes, great artwork.
Reporting.
Can you play Bad to the Bone again?
Let's intro with Bad to the Bone. You know, this is the best part about this soundboard. Do you not hear myself?
No.
That's your
Am I up?
I can hear you. I can hear you good.
Yeah. So, I don't understand.
I'd wiggle that cable.
I can hear you. Wiggle that cable. No, I hear everything else. Everything else is...
I hear you.
It's just you.
All right, just checking. We're all weird.
Do you want to switch headphones?
No, we're good.
I can hear you.
I can hear you.
Well, that's what
You're actually quite loud.
I like to be loud.
So, all right. Let's. What we like to do on the show, Chris, is that there's a lot of idiots that listen to the show.
Oh, the
and
dummies.
These Jonah racists. Be they a Jonah racist, a Jonah rapist, whatever they, a Jonah radiate.
Yeah, radiant. Jonah radiance.
Whatever they are, they like to feel that they're involved and they somehow have a say in what we're doing.
They really don't like democracy over here.
They don't. And they're the
Can't
worst.
Can't they just be Jonah Ray of Sunshines?
Can't they? But they're not because they're dumb because they're on the internet. And so what we do is we have a thing called Twitter Games.
Twitter Games. It's like the Hunger Games, but with Twitter.
With Twitter, exactly.
Kind of, yeah.
Can I be the dude with the shitty sideburns and beard?
Hey, Neil.
I'm saying in the movie, not in the book.
Okay, all right. Oh, I thought that was just a shot at me.
Don't mess it up and then just...
No, I'm just saying I'm a little out of shape. I missed it. I couldn't.
No, you didn't, though. You had the opportunity.
You know what? I wanted to hear that song right when he played it, so it made me really happy.
Syria.
So you had,
we get topical.
You had this Syria.
No, I didn't.
You got me hyped now because I want to play games on Twitter with people.
Well, here's what it is. This is like we set up a hashtag where we tell people what the hashtag is, and then they submit.
Stump the host.
Well, it's sometimes a pun game.
Yeah, sometimes we just don't get
it. Usually a pun
make
game.
Fun. They basically tweet you, and then you make fun of them, and that's the game.
Yeah, pretty
because
much.
Because this is season two, we tried to open it up a little. It's usually a pun game. But this time, we got a good suggestion about why it's been 7 weeks since we've done a show.
Yeah, so the Twitter game was best guess as to why we have been gone so long.
Hashtag
while you were awaydio.
Awaydio.
Yeah.
With Jonah Radio.
Exactly.
We like things that sound like
at
things.
Dan Barrel says, you finally finished having honeymoon sex. That is true. Have we done one since I've been married?
I think we did do
I don't
one.
Think we've done
one. Well, no.
We've done one. We did Wait. One because you
I was
told
promised
the story.
That was part of me coming on the show tonight. But I,
they get to sex? Have some sex.
Yeah, you did one.
You know what? Here's
the post anocta, whatever we call it.
Here's the thing I realized about like the whole thing about you have sex.
Can I read some of these questions for the future ones?
Yeah. You can. I just
talk
do
about sex. Talk about sex, baby.
I want to talk about you and me.
Talk about you and me.
I want to talk about all the good things and the bad things.
Some of the bad things. Not all the bad things.
That could be.
Some of the bad things.
Let's talk about sex. but the thing about, people talk about like when you get married, you don't have sex as much. I realize it's because the urgency is now gone. The urgency is like, when you're dating, when you're like, I got to get this in.
Almost. She might break up with me.
Do you find you watch less porn?
No. I watch a whole bunch.
I find that I watch lots of porn when I'm single. And I probably watch a lot of porn if I was married.
Yeah, you do. But here's another weird thing. I was never a kind of guy that would just like check out a girl and go, look at the butt. I wasn't a checkout girl. But like now I am, because it's like the confidence that nothing can come from
nothing.
Yeah. My fantasies can't.
Safety dance.
Yes. And dip it. It's like even when it's like if I see like a cute girl at like a place I'm at, I go, oh, if I wasn't married, she'd probably totally be into me. I would hit that. All right, here's a
that's a salty banana.
Yes.
All right, Jonah, Matt, and Neil staged an elaborate James Bond style plot to trick Esquire into taking style over G4.
Okay.
That's
a one out of two. Hold on.
One out of two.
Also,
he wasn't there for at TJ Wells.
Also, it's TJ Wells.
Excuse me, at poor Francisco. Poor
Frisco 87.
Poor Frisco 87, sorry.
Here's a weird
thing. I'm new to this Twitter game.
He also says Jonah, Matt, Neil. He thinks Cash is Matt Myra.
Yeah, no. I let him have it on Twitter about that.
And Adam, as always.
Shut up, dummy.
I like Roger G's.
at Barry the Art Guy simply says
twerking.
That's where we were for that.
That's my head.
Did you see the wrecking ball video today?
No, but it got
I did
25 million views or something.
I'm unfamiliar. What
the entire world saw it.
Yeah.
What was the video?
It's her like naked on a wrecking ball
and licking a sledgehammer.
Yeah,
sledgehammer.
She's not an actress at all, really. It just kind of feels like, can you lick this sledgehammer suggestively sexually? And she's like, I don't understand what that means.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, just pretend that sledgehammer is some dude's dick that you don't want to suck, but you have to
you
pretend
mean every dick?
That your tongue is touching it. And
you
so,
mean every dick?
Every dick.
That's a, you know,
it is one of the most awkwardly, like, it just seems like she's got some kind of sexual autism.
No, here's the thing.
Sexual
here's
autism.
The thing with girls.
Yeah,
no,
absolutely.
With girls.
It is the least.
Like, because she was objectified when she was like prepubescent. Yeah.
Girls
well,
that,
when your dad
no.
is achy, breaky heart guy, yeah. I mean, yeah. God bless her
no,
soul.
With girls who came up where.
I remember like, seeing her dad play with Bill Clinton's brother once. Roger.
I remember that too.
with girls like that who are just having to be sexualized, which she was, you know, sexualized early on, she doesn't really know. She probably doesn't like sex as much as she likes sexuality.
Yeah,
yeah. She is more obsessed.
Well, Hannah Montana is really into sex, though.
The flip side.
That's all it is.
I worked with a director once who said that, like, and he was a homosexual gentleman, and he said he was like talking to her before in this meeting, and she. Like, just straight up, like, could tell that he was a gay guy and would, like, open up her skirt and just, like, fucking spread her legs sitting across
we call
the
room.
That never really? Happened for legal
yeah.
purposes.
Like, this was a guy.
Underage yeah. version yeah. of Shannon
yeah.
Stone.
Yeah, a very you go, Chris, underage version. Do this one. Of,
yeah.
This is from at I Live With My Dad. Which is a great.
You guys
that
could
guy's
be.
The best. Yeah,
according so, to I Live With My Dad. Jonah Radio, writing a new wave rock fusion opera based on the life and times of the guy who created Alf.
That's what we've been doing. That's what we've been doing with our time.
I didn't think you guys were telling people about that yet.
No, we haven't, but this is a good time as any to announce it, right?
It is.
A good musical based on a...
I saw... What is that dude's name?
Permanent Midnight. Jerry
Stahl? Simon Rex. Simon Rex was wearing a very fancy Alf shirt the other day.
Oh, really?
Wait, fancy?
And singing songs about cocaine.
Hey,
I've seen
Hollywood,
that.
Dirty Hollywood.
Dirt nasty.
Dirty Hollywood.
You know what? I hope this gets out, even though there's no way it would. I fucking hate that fucking scene so much. I hate Mickey Avalon, Dirt Nasty. What are the other guys from that scene?
Those are the only two that I hate.
Simon Rex, he's Dirt Nasty.
He's the same guy.
What's the fuck? Yeah, I hate him a bunch. What's the other guy? Like,
you know who I do like, though, is Andy is a nice guy.
Andy Milonakis is an awesome dude.
He's an awesome dude.
Former employer of mine. Really good guy.
He hit me for like 20 minutes once thinking I was Steve Agee from across the room.
I wonder what in the world Andy Milonakis would have against Steve Agee.
You're queer. He's just trying to get
Sarah
Steve to
once.
Pay attention to him.
Cash, I saw a guy at a nice restaurant recently who looked like the fanciest version of you. So I turned to my friend. I was like,
I'm imagining the fanciest version ever.
Yeah, and it's like, I turned to my and I was like, do you know who that is? He's like, who? I was like, that's Cash Money.
Can I get Live With My Dad?
Yeah, you want to do another one?
Yes, I Live With My Dad. It says that you guys were traveling the world in search for exotic drops for Neil's soundboard.
Ooh.
Let's hear something exotic.
Let's see, that was...
To something exotic.
Oh, hold on. I gotta go to...
Jay-Z sounds?
I gotta go to the new
I think
page.
You do.
I don't know.
Good enough.
I Live With My Dad also says, while you were away, crying uncontrollably.
I think he liked both of his...
Yeah.
Dumb let's...
I like this one. Oh, same dude.
He's
on the money here.
Soundboard is my art.
Nailed it.
Soundboard is my art.
I like it when Neil finds the new page, the second page of the soundboard.
That's been there for
months. And then acts like it's like the first time he ever got an opportunity.
I like the almighty chaos here. Cash's addiction to big dicks, and he needed an intervention.
Hey, I like that. Let's see.
Dumb bitch.
At Victoria Adams says, Jonah was following Fiddler's tour so as to tell everyone he meets that he knows them.
She also said that Chris Hardwick's aunt, Slappy, finally caught up to Jonah and got even.
All right, real quick, at Victoria Adams, if you're listening to this, which you're probably not because you wouldn't be such a fucking piece of shit if you did.
What is up with these multiple tweets? They're like, I have an idea that I'm going to tweet. But then I have another one.
Yeah. So Victoria Adams. So
So I tell everyone that I meet that I know Fiddler. No, I don't. Because most people in the world don't know who they are. So wouldn't it be impressive?
If you don't, check them out. They're great.
I don't know Fiddler.
You don't know Fiddler?
You know I know them, right?
Oh, shit.
Set up. Jonah Ray's friends with them.
Let's see. At Varkanar says, the soundboard broke, leaving Cash and Neil without anything useful to contribute.
Hey, I don't work the soundboard. I don't have anything to contribute normally.
Shut up, dummy.
And then at Ian T. McFarlane simply says, Chris?
Dildos.
No, he says, you have to read it how it's typed there.
Dildos?
Hey! That's our Twitter.
That's the fine art of reading Twitter. Wow.
That's going out on top.
Twitter game.
That's pretty good. That's pretty fucking good. Oh, man.
That was a good one.
People are mean on Twitter. People are the worst on Twitter.
The worst.
Yeah. That's what we should call
it. Brings
segment.
Out the best of mean people.
Twitter. You got to tweet that. Let's take a break real quick. We're going to listen to Jeffrey Lewis's album 12 Crass Songs, where he does folk versions.
The entire
of
record?
Crass. No. We're just from. Okay.
The 12 Crass Songs.
We're going to listen to 12 Crass Songs.
We'll see you guys next week.
Yeah. We're going to listen to his cover of End Result. This is a great album. You should check it out. It came out a few years back.
Product, I am a symbol of endless, hopeless, fruitless, aimless games. I'm a glossy package on the market shelf. My contents aren't fit for human consumption. I could tragically injure your perfect health. My ingredients will seize up your body's function. I'm the dirt that everyone walks on. I am the orphan nobody wants. I am the stair carpet everyone walks on. I am the leper nobody wants to touch. I am a sample. I am a scapegoat of useless, futureless, endless, mindless ideas. I'm a number on the paper you file away. I'm a portfolio you stick in the drawer. I'm the fool you try to scare when you say, we know all about you, of that you can be sure. Well, I don't want your crazy system. I don't want to be on your files. Your temptations, I try to resist them. Yes, I know what hides beneath your smile. I am a topic, I am a subject for useless, futureless, endless, mindless debates. You think up ways that you can hide me from the naive eyes of your figurehead. But don't you find that it ain't easy? Wouldn't you love to see me dead? Your answer is to give me treatment for crying out when you give me pain. Leave me with no possible remnant. You poke your knives into my brain. I am an example. I'm no hero of the great, intelligent, magnificent human race. I'm part of the race that kills for possessions. Part of the race that's wiping itself out. I'm part of the race that's got crazy obsessions, like locking people up, not letting them out. I hate the living dead and their working factories. They go like sheep to their production lines. They live on illusions, don't face the realities. All they live for is that big blue sign. It says, Ford. I'm bored. I am a product, I am a symbol of endless, hopeless, fruitless, aimless games. I am a sample, I am a scapegoat of useless, futureless, endless, mindless ideas. I am a topic, I am a subject for useless, futureless, endless, mindless debates. I am an example, I'm no hero of the great, intelligent, magnificent human race.
Human All right. That was Jeffrey Lewis, part of that scene in New York that they call anti-folk. Talking about,
that's
talking about Moldy Peaches. Talking about Adam Green. Talking about Kim Ya Dowson.
I love Adam Green.
Going to be anti?
I love Adam.
Adam Green's a good dude.
What was that one song he had really like a... what was the song he had that became a hit? What was the singer? Jessica Simpson.
What commercial was it in?
If people will right now YouTube Adam Green German TV,
I guarantee
you that no one will leave disappointed.
there was a kid that sent us...
another one of my favorite people in the world.
A guy
Lance Bangs, Adam Green.
This guy sent us... bands that records that he's bought.
That was a blind one.
No.
There was a listener.
No, he meant
there was
it.
No mistakes.
You son of a bitch. His name is David. I just like David Burrows. He sent an email saying like, "Hey, I really like the podcast. I've been listening since early on." He took a picture of the stuff he's bought that he's heard on the podcast. He's bought Braid Framed Canvas from Chicago, nice. Lifetime, Audacity, Fiddlar. You know, I know them. The Uncluded, which was
played. I heard
Jonah
knows Fiddlar.
Yeah, it's true. Joyce Manor, Aesop Rock, Kim Ya Dawson.
He's doing this from the pictures of the record covers, by the way, people.
Yeah. This is like the guy
no
took
one's
a picture.
Popping him.
The Thermals, You Blew It, Harmar Superstars last records. If you haven't
God
gotten
bless
it,
Harmar Superstars is his new record.
Dude, if you haven't
it is
gotten
one of the best fucking
Goodbye
records.
17.
I have a gigantic poster of the thing that's in the circle of the painting. Harmar sent me a picture of that, and I got the guy who painted that to make prints of it.
Oh, really?
Because it was so good. And I got one for me, and I got one for Harmar. Harmar Superstar is a fucking genius, and his new record is amazing.
It's great. It's, you know, and I said it when he was on.
I will fist fight people over Harmar.
Yeah, I know. I think
you
it's great.
I think you could. Yeah,
I will.
You have to. No, it's cool. We're all fans.
And it's what I said when he was on. I said it's the perfect combination of, I was always a fan of Sha Na Na, and I really liked the Harmar stuff. But this
Sha Na Na is amazing, too.
But this is the culmination.
Under-listened.
Indie rock band, right?
Genius record.
Yeah.
Fucking Maria and stuff, that song.
Dude. Oh,
God. Melts my heart.
Yeah, anyway, there's... Yeah,
sorry,
anyway.
Didn't mean to interrupt.
No, but
we're
like it's
we're talking the same thing.
Yeah, we're talking the same language.
Harmar Superstar is a genius.
Yeah,
we're
he is.
Speaking the truths.
Yeah. So thanks, Dave Burrows, for sending us that. Please.
Hey, thanks, Dave Burrows, for listening to Harmar Superstars. That's what I say.
Yeah, that's what
thing.
I say. And
God bless you for listening to Braid, but thank you for listening
well,
to
Well, you
Harmar
know, what we say at the end of the show is like, if you like the bands that you heard on the show, buy their music, go see them live, buy a t-shirt, get a sticker, do whatever you can.
I will say that I think that Sean Tillman, aka Harmar Superstar, is the most talented singer, is the most talented songwriter, and is the best dancer of anyone that I've met since living in LA.
He's an incredible dancer.
And that's like, I meet lots of ridiculous people, you know? Like,
yeah, you do. Here's
Sean
the thing.
Tillman is a showman.
Harmar Superstar played my wedding.
Yes.
Yeah,
they were the wedding band. It was him and Denver and the other guys
dudes.
And for a moment,
all of them.
And for a moment, fucking Tom Wilson. Biff Tannen. Did you hear about that?
I did not, but that sounds awesome.
You didn't hear about that? So Tom Wilson was a guest at my wedding. He's the guy that played Biff. And Sean didn't see him before they started playing. So they're playing their set,
and they do some covers.
They end their set with a few covers. One of the covers. Power of Love.
That's the power of love.
But he starts to fuck it up because he doesn't know the lyrics right off the bat.
Did Biff know the lyrics?
Tom runs onto the stage, grabs the mic.
I got this, bro!
Yeah. Fucking sing. And the thing is, Tom's really sensitive.
That's probably the best wedding band story that I've ever heard in my entire
life. That's like the
life.
Best wedding
jaw was
story.
On the fucking floor.
Is that why you brought up the Harmar picture in case that story could come up?
No!
Because it's the best story that I've ever heard in my life.
It's the second time people have heard it.
And of course, everyone else was like...
How many people that were at your wedding knew that it was Biff?
Mostly.
Yeah.
Mostly.
Yeah,
I would say probably mostly. Yeah.
Most of the people.
But that's pretty awesome. Can you imagine if it was a wedding where no one knew?
Who's like, get that guy off stage.
This asshole. It would still be the best thing ever, but just no one was there to appreciate the genius of that. I'm glad you had a wedding where everybody was like, holy shit, that's Biff.
Yeah. Everyone was holy shit except for Steve Agee, who was fucking filming it.
Yeah, he's the guy that doesn't want to fucking... Here's a great thing.
So is this on YouTube?
Oh, I don't know.
It's on Vine.
I think this should be up somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah, we should probably find the video of that.
Was Instagram
here's
somebody
the thing, put a video here's thing that that was my.
Can you play a game of top this for your wedding?
No, but like this
top
is,
that.
This is a funny thing that happened though. But Boyd Vico, a good friend of mine, who we're going to have on soon, he was standing next to Tom, and like you know, they're just chatting about the wedding and stuff like that. He's like, "Oh, I know John. How do you know John?" Blah blah blah, and then. And then Boyd's girlfriend comes up and hands him a light beer.
Yeah.
And so he goes, he gets these.
I don't know if people at home could appreciate the fact that I just opened
up a light beer.
Light beer
and so,
as a special sound effect.
And so Boyd turns to Tom and goes, I come all the way to your house to drop off your car, and all you got for me is light beer. And then Tom says to him, "You're better than that." Yeah, Tom's great. Tom, we should have on the show, and he wants to be on it. He's we did his. I was a episode of his podcast, Big Pop Fun. We did it in here, and he's just the sweetest, nicest, funniest guy, and he like really musical. Like you should hear.
I feel
like,
the love is just going around in the room right now.
We're really it's that
we
point.
Did.
That's the we hear multiple beers opening up.
Yeah, we've got 12.
Hey, Cash, who do you really like?
Oh God,
it's one of the only times
I'm a big fan of.
It's one of the only times I've been starstruck since I've been out here was when I got to meet him.
It's good.
Those are the moments in LA that are the best where you're like hanging out and you're like, holy shit, that dude was on The Wire.
Yeah. You bringing it back to Bubbles?
No, I was talking about Cuddy.
I
was at the Green Hornet premiere hanging out and Cuddy was there. And, you know, it's like Michel Gondry, awesome. You know, you're a genius. Good job with everything you've ever done.
Yeah, good job.
Except for maybe Green Hornet. Right. And
but it's when you get blindsided with that guy.
And then
like,
you're like, holy shit, that's Cuddy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think I've told this story, but I used to work at a record store. Matt Groening would come in. It's down the street from Futurama. And he would like browse records. And I kind of got used to it. It's like, oh, okay, I know who that is. And
which store?
I used to work at Rhino
Records.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
The place that actually spawned the record label.
Yeah, but,
hey.
That's the wrong one. It's Chariots of Fire that you got to use.
Oh, shit. It's been a long time.
Who was the founder of The Simpsons in Futurama?
Rhino Records, I saw Rilo Kiley play there in support of their first album.
You know what I saw
the
other day?
I saw Bill Spiller,
which
was awesome.
Kind of awesome.
Doesn't work.
Yeah, that was during the guest story.
Sorry.
No, it wasn't for you. It was trying to make fun of
me. No, it's for me. It's for me. That's kind of my theme song around here.
My friend Donald, a guy I've known since I was 5 years old, was in L.A. It was my birthday. It was coming up. He was at Family, the bookstore on Fairfax, and he was going to buy me a David Lynch book, Catching the Big Fish. And then he looks and he's like, holy shit. And he turns to the guy, is that Matt Groening? He's like, yeah, he comes in here all the time. He's like, you got a Sharpie? He's like, of course. It gives my Donald a Sharpie.
That's amazing.
Walks it over to him. He's like, it's my friend's
Signs
birthday.
David Lynch book.
He's like, could you send this book? He's like, sure. And he says like, hey, Jonah, or yo, Jonah, I didn't have anything to do with this book, but I'm a huge David Lynch fan. Matt Groening.
Do you
and then
still
he drew,
have the book?
Yes, I have That's it. Awesome. And he drew Bart.
That's awesome. My story was a little bit more obscure. That's a weird one.
That's a weird
one. To get
one.
David Lynch. Mine might be even weirder. My friend David Silverman directed the Simpsons movie and is a longtime Simpsons director. But he did the movie Monsters Incorporated.
Oh.
And as I had a cold the other day and I went through and watched.
Hold on. Everyone should have laughed at the fact that it said Monsters Incorporated.
Monsters Inc., sorry. Like,
Mon Incorporated.
So I basically watched every single Vice, you know, video of all time and was going through and there was one on David Icke. And I was like, man, I've never really sat through 7 hours of David Icke. Like, I wonder what this fucking lunatic has to say. I don't know if you know who David Icke is.
I don't think I do.
Icke is kind of the head of the crazy alien theory where he believes that the world is ruled by shape-shifting reptoids. That so all of the rich people in the world are actually
the, like the Wyoming kind of
No. This is fully
lizard
like,
people.
Lizard people that like
so this
Hillary
is the
Clinton switches back
the
and forth
the,
between
the thing that
lizard.
He's based
yeah.
on.
Okay. So the they
no
live
no I think you give too much credit to David Icke to think that it would be based of He got it from V.
Okay, all right.
I'm just going to throw that out there. I'm going to say that, that shape-shifting reptoids did not exist before the original V hit the stage. Okay. So anyway, I'm watching this thing, and it's amazing. I used to host a UFO radio show for 8 years, and it was...
did
it was,
you know Art Bell?
We were the academic art. Our show was like This American Life mixed with Art Bell. So Art Bell would interview people, and then we'd interview them, and I was just let people talk. And Art Bell would be like, "Hey,
the craziest fucking life."
I know it's a little nuts, but watching this David Icke thing, I'm waiting for a sound effect.
Soundboard was
just
down.
Sometimes I just need
it. Just got sent.
Neil like plays with the Area iPad like he doesn't have an that. iPhone, yeah. And he like tries to. He's like an old person when he's
it's
tapping.
Different.
Hit a sound for this. Awesome. That was so worth the wait. So anyway, I've always been fascinated by aliens and UFOs and conspiracy theories. I spent 3 years after I graduated college working with John Schnepp, who went on to make Metalocalypse.
Yes.
Working on the Illuminatus trilogy, which was my favorite book in college.
Schnepp is kind of a Zelig, too.
He's a guy.
Yep. First episode of Upright Citizens Brigade, John Schnepp. So anyway, watching this David Icke thing, and he's talking about the reptoid, you know, shape-shifting conspiracy, and he pulls up and he's like, even Pixar's in the game. And he shows this thing about how these monsters are coming from an alternate dimension through this closet in order to control people's worlds. And it made me think of David Silverman. Jeez. And I was like, did you know that you were the subject of a David Icke conspiracy 7-hour lecture on shape-shifting reptoids? And
so he was like, of course. Yeah. He's the guy that figured it out.
Know. It's awesome.
Jesus.
But now he knows. Now he knows that he's part of the conspiracy. Isn't it better to know that you're part of the conspiracy?
I think so, because then you're a victim of it.
You're like, hey.
Dropping hints in interviews and shit.
All these comedy people, part of the conspiracy. I'm pretending right now.
You know, it's a fun
I'm infiltrating the comedy world in order to expose them as the shape-shifting reptoids that they really are.
After Zach Galifianakis was in the, you know, became a celebrity after The Hangover.
Can we talk about Zach Galifianakis in the show that you did with him?
Oh, the first Fuck Yeah Fest?
No. This was
the Doers.
The Doers thing.
Oh, boy.
With the guy in the front row that was like, dude, you were in Snow Day.
Yeah. That was like a year.
The best unintentional heckle of all time.
Yeah. That was a year after the FYF Fest, where it's like he had to.
I saw the FYF one. Yeah, I was there with that one too.
Yeah.
Jonah Ray has definitely turned me on to many awesome comedians.
Yeah, thank you. But it's like a thing that's like Zach becomes this huge celebrity, and you know him and Brody are still friends, and Brody's asking him at lunch. It's like, hey, so now that you're famous, do you know about the inside stuff about UFOs?
You know when I knew that UFOs didn't exist and that there was no conspiracy? I was friends in college with a Rockefeller, and her grandfather was Lawrence Rockefeller or whatever, and he was really into UFO stuff, and they asked me to come and tell him what was going on.
Oh.
And I was like,
if you don't know,
if I'm the authority, like, if that dude doesn't know what's going on, then there's nothing.
That guy's got enough money
if
to change.
If you're
it.
Not a shape-shifting lizard person, then no one's a shape-shifting lizard person.
So did you explain to him that, like, this is the meeting of the Ouroboros face with tail? Like, I am at one end.
Exactly,
or the other.
Yeah. It's one hand clapping.
Yeah, exactly.
I was like, there is nothing going on.
So you were supposed to be the wedding DJ. At my wedding.
Yes.
This is the part of the show we call redress for recriminations from Jonah.
No, you know what happened?
When I was
doing the red carpet at the Franco roast, I started talking to Natasha, and then she's like,
hey,
why would I talk to you? You didn't invite me to your fucking wedding.
Speaking of which, I go further back with Natasha than anybody in this town.
That's right. Yeah. Natasha Leggero, you knew when she was dancing with a Yum Yum.
She danced with Sablon Glitz, which came before Yum Yum.
Jesus.
It's a good story.
Shots fired.
I don't want to date, like, you know.
Anyone.
No, she's owning it.
Okay. Natasha Leggero danced with my band at Lollapalooza in 100-degree heat, painted silver. Coolio and his brothers stole all the water out of our dressing room. Keep in mind, they're painted silver.
Yeah.
It's literally 100 degrees in Chicago humidity. They get off the stage, we look in Coolio's brother, his literal brother, not his brother, his literal brother, is shooting women in their breast with a super soaker with the water.
With bottled water.
The bottled water from our dressing room. Natasha's painted silver. They literally are about to die of like heat stroke. And we look over and he's like, that girl's pregnant. She's got big titties. And is literally shooting her in the breast.
Oh, my God.
With the bottled water. And they almost die.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, cool.
That's ways back, though.
That's ways back.
Oh.
She was time traveling, though.
Yeah.
She's 24.
She's 24.
She's a beautiful girl.
Of course she is. But I wanted to say, you were going to be the DJ at the wedding.
I was going to be the DJ at your wedding.
And then you had to cancel because you are the opening DJ for Paul McCartney. Before we get to that, the replacement DJ was our friend Frankie Chan.
Frankie Chan DJed with me last week at the Roosevelt 80s prom.
Good dude. Like, we're still, like, fucking keeping the...
Goes back to the CineSpace days.
CineSpace days, fucking before
Jonah
that, the egg room.
Slam dancing.
Yeah. Frankie Chan still way into comic books, iHeartComics. But, like, he was the backup. He canceled last minute, like, a few days before because
boo.
He had to DJ...
Soundboard boo.
He... Do it. Because he had to DJ for the Rolling Stones.
Oh.
And then who saved the day? Fucking Denver Daly.
Denver Daly is a good guy.
The Tall Lions. Denver Daly is
a good guy.
He's from Desaparecidos. He plays with
Paul Mar. There's very few dudes that in my life, somebody, like my ex-girlfriend's little sister was like, do you know this dude? I'm like, he's a good dude.
He's a good dude.
Totally date that.
He's in town. We should have had him on. You should have had him come by.
You should totally have him.
So you became the official opening DJ for Sir Paul McCartney.
I've been DJing for Paul McCartney. I don't know if I've ever gotten a certificate that's like, you are the official DJ for Paul McCartney.
Well, there should be.
That's what you should have showed me
did
when
you guys
fucking had to cancel,
tonight?
When you had to cancel
did
on
the
me.
Twitter. It's a weird gig. It's the most awesome thing in the world. I was DJing another
So
here's what happened. I was DJing another absurd. This is going to sound like the biggest dick kind of like story of name dropping of all times.
I think it's this far enough people know you enough.
Well, they know that they know I'm a dick already.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool. We're all good.
Nobody's just making up their minds.
I was DJing the Radiohead in Rainbow's Grammy party, and it was Tom York and Nigel Godrich and Questlove, and it was a weird party, and we like all these weird people were coming up, like Daft Punk was there, and like just you know whatever, like random people were showing up. And Paul McCartney shows up, and I'm like, holy shit. Like, nothing prepares you in life for actually seeing a Beatle. Everyone thinks that they're cool. I've seen world leaders lose their shit over seeing a Beatle. Like, no one is that cool that they're like, hey, cool, Paul McCartney. So I was DJing, and I played for a little bit, and then I went up to Paul and talked to him about how awesome he was on the Colbert Report.
So you had like an interesting
A plan at all. It was just like, dude, you were fucking awesome on the Colbert Report. Yeah. It's a pleasure to meet you. I'm a massive Beatles fan. High five. You know? And then the next day I get a call from Nigel and he's like, Paul McCartney called up for your phone number. I'm like, dude, don't fuck with me. That's the craziest thing I've ever heard. And he's like, no, for real. Like, I gave him your phone number.
I also like the fact that, like, you know, you get to glaze over this part of the story, but, like, Nigel Godrich, like, the guy who fucking, like, produced, like, the best Radiohead albums.
That's awesome.
I call them overrated Diohead. I'm not sure if you know about that.
It's a shirt
that you can get at
Blue Collar Distro.
Blue Collar Distro. But he also,
I do not think there, I will stand up for Radiohead.
No, it's fine. I have some of our shirts on a regular basis.
What? I would be willing
Maybe
to
he
say,
can send him some of our
could
shirts.
Could you send him some of my overrated Diohead shirts?
I don't think they'll work.
They like,
you know what I do?
Are you saying they don't have a sense of humor about themselves?
No, they do. Cause when we were in Mexico, I bought a bunch of, the bootleg merch and there's literally ones where Tom York looks like a gorilla.
Here's the thing. And like,
he's a really fucking funny guy.
I didn't
talk to Tom York for the first 10 times that I like met them and DJed with them. And I thought he was just like a super quiet, like, genius, you know, in his own little world. And then I realized he's one of the funniest people that I've ever met.
Really? Yeah. You know, I make fun of the fact that, like, I don't like... I do, actually. I think they're a very great band. But I don't understand the godlike position they've been put into.
I don't think they put themselves in that position.
No, and they never did.
Yeah. Yeah.
Never
and I did. Also think it was like
they're really fucking good band.
It was like a 2 to 3 years ago at the Hollywood Bowl kind of.
And that was the best show in the history of the world.
Messianic thing that
it was really the past 8 years or anyone who saw them live was like, well, no, you got to see them.
Yeah, I got a lot.
But they pretty much, like, you know what's weird to me, like, not to switch the topic, is that there are a lot of comedy people that talk about Fish like that. And
talking about Harris Whittles. That's like the only comedy person.
I may be talking about Harris Whittles. Anyway, so yeah. So anyway,
so Nigel calls you and says, "Hey."
So I'm answering every blocked phone call that I get.
Oh my god!
2 weeks already.
So the rumors are flying around.
They're like, "Is Chris Holmes there?" I'm like, "Yeah." They're like, "Do you want some generic Viagra?" I'm like, "No!" And then finally, I'd given up on it, and I was in Mexico, and they had the Mexican version of Coachella, and Primal Scream played, and like all of these bands, and I ended
up... Is that Coachella?
Come on, get a drop.
Soundboard.
Get a drop.
It's on a different...
Come on.
Here's the thing.
Okay.
Oh, really?
No, he had it. Bottles of tequila, hungover, 9 in the morning. I get a blocked telephone call, and I'm like, shouldn't probably deal with this. I'm like, hello, and it's like, hey, Chris, it's Nigel's friend Paul. And
Friend Paul.
That was my Paul McCartney impersonation.
Hey.
So it turns out that Paul McCartney
his friend
is the coolest guy, he's the least disappointing human being in the world.
Like he lives up to what you want him.
Literally,
to.
He's so far beyond
engaging
the amount of coolness that you could think he could possibly be. Where now, like, it's just, literally every day that I hang out with that dude, he blows my mind.
Is he one of those dudes where it's like, and this is what I think about people who just are just chill.
I don't talk about this stuff at all.
Weird. Like,
I feel weird that this is on a podcast. But
don't worry, it's like three people
that will Twitter about it.
Yeah, yeah.
He's the best dude ever.
He seems like one of those guys, and I'll put Dave Grohl in this thing, and I'll put
Dave Grohl. So that's how I explain people from my generation, how I explain Paul to them. I'm like, he's like Dave Grohl, but he's been like that for 50 years.
And I think
he's been the coolest guy in the world for his entire life, and he's the nicest, smartest, most talented guy ever.
He seems like one of those guys where it's what I say about people. They're it ain't no thing. It's like that's what they try to put. It's like you're Paul McCartney. It ain't no thing. Don't worry about it.
Paul gives everybody their moment, and there's also moments like there's a quote from John Lennon where someone was like, "Is Ringo the best drummer in the world?" And John was like, "Ringo's not the best drummer in the Beatles." Paul.
Which is such a shitty thing to say.
It's a shitty thing.
Really,
John was kind of a dick.
But
Paul is like literally the most talented, most amazing dude in the universe.
Yeah.
And he's the coolest guy, and he likes Breaking Bad.
So, Chris, be honest. Does he want to be George Harrison? Does he want to be on Talking Bad?
Adam's George is his Adam's favorite Beatle. But
George Harrison. It's amazing. Like, George Harrison's lyrics are so fucking good. I mean, this isn't what podcasts are about, like sitting down and figuring out, like, you know.
Who the best Beatle is.
No.
I'm sure there's exactly all podcasts before. Trying to figure out which is the best Adam and
All Things Must Pass is like the best lyrics ever. They're just amazing.
Best post-Beatle ballad.
So there's a cover. A lot of what I do with Paul is play covers of Beatle songs that like soul people have done, from like Otis Redding to like Aretha Franklin or whatever. And Jim James did two amazing covers of George Harrison songs.
Jim James from My Morning Jacket.
My Morning Jacket. So Paul played this summer at the Outside Lands in San Francisco.
I know. I was supposed to be there.
And I watched the show next to Jim James. And it was amazing because Jim James had just been on tour with Wilco and Bob Dylan. And Bob Dylan's a genius too. Like, there's no, like, you know, Bob Dylan's a fucking, like, one of the coolest guys to ever live on the planet. You know, he's super genius. And it was amazing to watch Jim James' jaw just like on the ground being like, holy shit, Paul McCartney, this is the best show I've ever seen in my life. And like, there are very few people. Paul's like, 71 years old, and he's fucking still as passionate and still as good as anybody in the world. And it's amazing. Yeah. We played in Seattle, and Dave Grohl, Chris Novoselic, and Pat Smears came up.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And they played seven songs with Paul.
Which songs did they do?
They did the song from the movie. They did Long Tall Sally. They did Helter Skelter. And they did, like, the Abbey Road medley.
No, but what Nirvana songs did they do?
what Germs songs did they do?
And it was...
Do you think at any point Pat Smear was like, can we at least play...
Watching Paul play Long Tall Sour with him, it's like, Paul never plays that live. That was the only time I've ever seen him play it. And you're sitting there watching it, and you just see the joy in Dave Grohl's face being like, holy shit, I'm playing with Paul McCartney. You look over at Chris Novoselic, he's like, holy shit, I'm playing with Paul McCartney. You look at Pat... And he's like shaking his feet on the ground, and he's just like, his grin literally is from ear to ear. He's like, holy shit, I'm playing with Paul McCartney. And then you look at Paul, and he's like, holy shit, I'm playing with Nirvana.
Yeah.
And it just was the most joyful, awesome moment ever. Like, they're just the coolest dudes ever. I have the best job in the world, like, while it lasts, like, until your podcast comes out. And I'm like, hey, you weren't supposed to talk about all that stuff on Twitter.
Why? No, there's nothing you said that is too incriminating.
There's nothing incriminating to say. Like, yeah. He literally is the raddest dude ever.
Do you think?
Do you want me to incriminate? I have
no. Do you think he would be on my podcast?
If you were in the right place in the right time and you caught him in the right mode,
I would pay for all these idiots to fucking go anywhere.
Does he play?
I don't have a lot of money, but I would pay for these guys to fly to Brazil.
It's like. I'm enjoying the soundboard. So
that's how good Chris Holmes is at fucking DJing. Is he can blindly touch something and it's fucking.
I was putting
perfect.
So much thought into like, what am I gonna do? We're hitting like kind Rick of a ass, low. Mate. Everyone's being a little bit serious, a little bit sincere. What am I gonna?
Sorry.
Oh, yeah. Fucker.
I mean, literally, like,
wrap it up.
You're in a world that's, you know, it's surrounded by awesome people, you know, Lance Bangs, and.
No, I'm very fortunate. Yeah.
Like,
I love that.
Adam.
Cracked.
Yeah.
Cracked magazine people.
No, not the magazine.
Cracked Out?
Yeah, Cracked Out.
Oh, I know Brett Gelman and John Daly.
I met them through you. They're both super geniuses.
Yeah.
I'm really the Michael funny. Jordan of
my
Freud
dick,
Mike it in
it's just small, and so is my balls. I wish my dick was bigger like Steven Seagal's. That's one of my favorite Brett Gelman lines.
I've met so many awesome people in this world through you. But
That's true. Well, we both, like, you know, people tend to say the same things about me that they say about you, which is like, how long have you been around? How do you know?
You're really big.
You're bigger than I thought. We didn't even get into, like, the stuff you've done in Africa, the fucking, like,
the voice project.
A voice project, the weird trips you've taken to fucking find UFOs. There's so many things, Chris.
There's so much that we.
Jonah's rubbing his eyes under his glasses.
We'll have to save this for season three.
Like someone just got like his child just got brought home by the police. Just rubbing his eyes. Like,
if anyone cares about like real life stuff, check out voiceproject.org.
Yeah, that's some legit stuff that you've done. Let's talk about that real quick. But, you know, let's get some sincere.
You want to be sincere?
Yeah.
Just have them check it out. They can figure that stuff out on their own.
Yeah. If you do want to, if you
Adam,
do like
links,
music, if you do like music and links. You want to support a good cause, check out the Voice Project. There's this one incredible thing that Chris showed me once, which is these women that were freed from kind of some crazy sexual slavery.
I'll try to explain it. In a short form fashion so that we can get back to the money.
Yeah.
But basically the Voice Project was set up to use music to solve problems when diplomacy and words had failed. And our friend Hunter had gone to Uganda and was working at the refugee camps there.
Hunter is like one of the raddest dudes I've ever
met. Raddest dude ever. But none of the men came back after the Civil War because they felt like that all of the war crimes that they had done, they could never be forgiven for the atrocities and stuff. And so the Clinton Foundation and the UN and everybody tried to get them to come back home, and nothing did it. And so Hunter came up with this idea with the women to record songs telling the men that they'd been forgiven and to come home. And they recorded them and then sent out Walkmans into the bush. And
wow.
One of the songs they did was Edward Sharp that we talked about earlier, his home song. And from that... this charity was born, and we've been building pirate radio stations in the Congo to broadcast to the LRA soldiers, telling them that they've been forgiven and that they can come home. This is so off the comedy radar, but it's an amazing thing, and people should check it out. Yeah, it's voiceproject.org.
Yeah, it's and I'm gonna really try and find, like, is that online anywhere?
Yeah,
those women singing.
Yeah,
home?
No, all of the songs, we've got Peter Gabriel, Mike Mills from REM. There's tons of bands that have done stuff.
That's amazing.
If you just go to voiceproject.org there.
Do you know where I can find that song, Home?
Yep. If you go...
Inappropriate.
It's trying to fill time.
Is that really what you're trying to do?
That's why we have fart sound effects, Neil.
I am. Like, you guys are going to, like, click, clack, click, clack. And then,
there it is. Oh, wow. Finally. Look how really good. How he's so much better than you.
He hits the same spot every time.
But it works, doesn't it?
But I go to, like...
You know what? He doesn't even need to try.
I love your sound drops, Neil.
Talent
is just born in.
Your nose is looking a little brown there, Jonah. You
know? I'm trying to figure out.
No, because I was just about to say this. Everyone knows that Adam was the best soundboard person.
We've done a lot of stuff with
that's only on host list.
With the Pussy Riot.
I can't drop this
radio
mic.
Neil's the best.
All right, so which is the where's them playing
the home?
I can't drop this mic. It's
it is Gulu.
No, actually,
Choir.
don't drop that one.
Oh,
yeah, that one's not ours.
Right here,
that's like rented.
Whoops. Wait, that did nothing. That went to something else.
Nothing? Nothing.
Never gonna give you up.
Hold on.
Never.
Wait, Edward Sharp? It was right there. It's this guy. Yes.
Oh, that one.
And then it's going to that.
Oh, wait. Is it?
Yeah,
there it is. Harry, stop. Stop.
How much time?
So we did a remix with the parts that these women sang, and it was, you know, in the world of being a DJ in Hollywood, there's a lot of shitty stuff like Lars Ulrich ending up at your house and Courtney Love ending up at your house and awful stuff.
That's why we stopped hanging out for the most part.
But from that, there are also moments where you can get these women that are at a refugee camp in Uganda singing this Edward Sharp song and have it reach like 15 million people. And it's the most beautiful thing in the world to realize that music can transcend any language, any border, any situation, and help heal wounds that nothing else can. And that's the heaviest shit ever.
Yeah, but have you tried to make cats do it? That was the joke to get out of the muck. No, no. It's a
meow, meow, meow,
meow, meow, meow, meow, meow. Meow, 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 meow. Whoa! See ya!
But yeah, so didn't mean to bring it to the heavy.
No, that was great.
No, that's great.
That's amazing. We do a lot of fun.
I'm so glad I know about that now. That seems like a weird way to
phrase
it.
Can we talk about Delocated?
God damn it, Neil.
Seems like a weird way to phrase it.
Delocated is the best show in the history of TV.
Honest.
Delocated is a great show. I'm trying to
give a shout out to Eagle Heart.
Oh, Jason Jay Woes in
he's
Eagle
my neighbor.
Heart crew. I know. He's one block away from me.
Super genius.
Yeah.
I know where you live.
He's a genius. Super genius would
he's
be.
He's a super genius.
I would give him the title Super Genius if he had put me in.
Paul
any
McCartney,
of the
Jason Paul McCartney, Jason Walker.
Anything besides the Bing commercials he directed.
Yeah, yeah. It's like if I was in any other thing.
I'm putting Paul McCartney and Jason Walker in the same
You
category.
Know, Jason Walker directed all the Bing commercials, right?
Bing!
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Bing. Hey, you know who's in the Bing commercials? Jonah Ray.
Yes.
He is.
But what is more respected?
I saw you at Western and Sunset while you were filming that, and I wanted to shout out my car window and be like, I know that fucker! That's Jonah Ray!
Yo, I know that dude! So,
I have your 7-inch! not the 10-inch, the 7-inch.
The 7-inch, that was the OG.
Sucker, so you got really excited.
7-inch.
Yeah. What are we at? What was the time?
500 hours.
Yeah, we're really long.
Oh, fuck it. Well, then we'll end it right now, then. Jesus Christ. Know, if you guys say it's long,
bada-bing.
People will feel that it's long. It's 500 hours. People are going to be like, oh, you're right. I've wasted my time.
You made it weird.
It flew by. I got to tell you, if you're listening to it, you're late. You should have paused this and gone to your appointment an hour ago.
You're good at that.
But it flew by. He is really good.
Yeah, this is a great episode.
Yes. It was on par with one of our best.
Season 2, out with a bang.
Season 2, out.
Yeah.
We're going to pick that.
Season 3 starts next week.
No, season 3 starts in 7 weeks. There's the traditional 7-week layoff.
We went really forget it. Let's end the show. It's been a lot of fun. We've had a really good time, and I want to say thanks to everybody who was listening,
who dealt with the past two non-Jonah
Ray episodes of Jonah Radio. I apologize. I do not apologize. I want to say I'm sorry for everything that happened with that. I want to give it up for our producer who got us a new deck.
Can I tell everybody that if they do come to the Breaking Bad finale at Cinespia, I will be DJing that shit.
I'll be there.
You know who usually does the Walking Dead premieres is Miles Hendrick.
I'm not talking about Walking Dead.
I know.
I'm talking about Breaking Bad.
Give me some VIP in that shit. Well, we've had a really good time. So, Cash Hartzell is our producer. You can follow him at Cash Hartz. Neil Mahoney on the Neil Mahoney.
Ask Cash for pictures of his new 6-channel mixer.
It's fancy. That 6 channels of stereo, baby.
Yeah.
Allowed me to have a mic.
That was Adam with a microphone. Give it up for Adam. You can follow him. What's your Twitter handle?
Adam M.
Well, that's the good the mic is doing. Neil Mahoney, fresh back from his excursion to how to feel better about people.
What?
Didn't make sense.
Through the art of giving the high five.
Yeah. How to feel better than people.
Ah, no, that makes
sense.
Yeah.
I still have a check for $1 billion written by this man on my bulletin board.
No, that's right.
I think it's for $1.
It was for $1, but I doctored it.
All right.
So when you become a trillionaire, I'm totally going to check that, and no one's going to question it.
Neil Dima.
We've had a lot of fun. Chris, where can people check out voiceproject.org?
Send it to voiceproject.org. Everything else is irrelevant.
That's a very good point.
Very good point.
We'll have you back soon. We'll talk to you. And any of the bands that you liked on this program.
Except for Ashtar Command.
Ashtar Command included.
No.
Buy their music. Go see them live. Support music. And,
we have something. Video games only. Red Dead Redemption.
Red Dead Redemption, one of the best video games of that year.
That's true. That's very good.
I just got so off topic there. You were giving the final goodbye.
We only have like a partial drop of God Gave Rock.
So like, you know, when it comes to love and life and living love, if you like the bands you heard, go and get their stuff. If you want to know where the track listing is, it'll be on Nerdist.com in the podcast section of the Jonah Radio Post.
I really like that Crass cover.
The what?
The Crass cover.
Oh, yeah. The Crass cover is great, huh? Jeffrey
really
Lewis.
Good.
Yeah.
Jeffrey.
We're going to end the show on a submission. A lot of these have been submissions.
Are these my dudes?
These are your dudes. I realized that a box had been piling up at Meltdown, full of Jonah Radio physical submissions.
I've heard a lot about. Is this the Mega Church?
This is Mega Church.
Mega Church 2.
Not to be confused with the original Mega Church.
This is not your granddaddy's Mega Church.
It's a great fucking record. They sent me their LP.
It's another awesome record cover.
And these guys either have lyrics that they pulled from sermons or samples from like
there
two
is
party
a green flying pterodactyl kind of
with an evangelist
shooting a lightning bolt kind of thing with the green pterodactyl-y kind of dinosaur thing over lava mountains that are purple.
Exactly.
Something.
It would make a great
blacklight poster. I feel like you have a career waiting for you in just, like, there's going to be an
describing horrible...
Just album covers for iTunes. Yeah. Just for blind people. It's like you download...
describe all of the Meltdown comics posters.
Oh!
Then I'm in my next
Meltdown
one.
Comics book
I'm
on
like,
tape.
There's some really scary dude that's in black, and he's kind of a mummy, but not really, and he's poking his head out, and Anthony Jeselnik's name is on him.
So this is Mega Church 2 with the album Judgment Day, the song Teabaggers.
Represent.
This album is great. Please remember to pick up everything that you heard, just like
Teabaggers.
The guy from before. So, yeah, enjoy, guys. Thank
Sorry
so
about
much.
The first season.
Sorry about the first season. Update.
We live by the Constitution, and by God, we'll die by the Constitution. We're tired of it. We're tired of them not listening to us. They work for us. We don't work for them.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.